There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is where I think it's interesting, because Ratcliffe is rich enough to be able to do it all, but it's not Ratcliffe, it's his company, Ineos. That's the difference there, is that Ineos Sports Group is different to Ineos, the people who sell and make and made Ratcliffe is absolute billions. Ineos, the sports group, Nice, would you say he's done a fantastic job at Nice? Anyone heard of where Nice are in Europe?
Steady job.
They've got a ram.
Right. They're not fucking pulling up trees in Europe, are they? Let's be honest. Ineos Grenadiers, the cycling team, which they've had for a few years now, has absolutely bombed since they took over from Team Sky. They've got all these things, like won the Tour de France this many times and all that. They were a sponsor at the time of those things. They weren't the guys running the team. The cycling stuff is all off the back of GB cycling and all that type of stuff, and I'm not sure that's got better in the last few years. Everything they've kind of touched hasn't really gotten any better is Ineos. They are a sponsor, I think, for Mercedes in F1, who the last 2 years haven't really pulled up trees either, falling well behind Red Bull and all that type of stuff. So Ineos, the sports group, haven't really done anything of note that I know of anyway in the sports that I watch.
The thing, someone said to me, it was earlier on last year, amid Liverpool's takeover talk, and the only person who's ever talked to me in person about like Liverpool's takeover and my stance on being owned by a nation, he said, "You didn't want Qatar, did you?" No. Well, when United get them. I said, well, look, they're going to have more money than us. United have always had more money than Liverpool. United's issue is not the money that they bring in, it's how they spend it. And so at least if they've got, and you're right, this depends on how good they are at what they choose to do. And this is the thing, they've got to go and get in a good managing director and a good CEO, and they've got to get a good director of football, and they've got to get all those people who sit between ownership level and manager, and they can get all that right, and the manager might not be right. And it's not going to change the fact that they spent £80 million on a guy who'd only ever scored 8 goals in a top European League prior to that.
Harry Maguire.
You know, they've got all these issues still to resolve, but if they get the people running the football club right, they can change it
around.
And
then they'll be 10 years behind Manchester City.
Of course. So they've got a long road to go. It's not going to fix, none of this was ever going to fix them overnight, by the way, because there's too many things fundamentally wrong with that team. They might be able to get a short-term bounce here and there, but to actually get Manchester United back to what is expected from Manchester United, that is a road, that is a long process, and it's not just about buying Kylian Mbappe. It's not just about getting Harry Maguire out the way. They've got to build a more competitive squad that's got the ability to actually generate funds a little bit within itself as well. They've got to buy players who've got room for progression. They've got to stop spunking endless amounts of money on footballers who don't pull in the right direction for the football club. It were just names, because that's what they were in the 80s. That's what they stopped being under Ferguson. They got the right attitude of footballer in. You need people who can identify who those are. It's not just about spending the money, they get lost in this. So
And you think about
the
way
smart people could turn the corner.
You think about the way that City did. Obviously, it was the second takeover that really propelled Manchester City, which people tend to forget about or we don't talk about often enough. But they were hiring Guardiola's people in and around that football club for 2 years before Guardiola arrived.
Yeah.
So they had a clear plan of what was going on and what they wanted to be and all that. Now, Man United, at the moment, you would still question whether they're right for sports washing the project. You know what I mean? Like, they are... I don't know how many trophies they've won recently, but they're a long way away from a league title now, 10 years or whatever it's been. So they're getting to the point where sport washing might be a thing for them and, you know, their fans and all that type of stuff, bringing in trophies, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think they need the sport washing side of things at Manchester United.
I think the problem is, I thought this a little bit with a couple of different clubs, they've just about gone past the point now where they've got a generation of entitled fans who grew up winning everything and all they want is to get back to that. And you've started to see that with Liverpool's fans, or a lot of people who've come to the club while it's been successful just wanted to stay at that at all costs. So I think they were in an interesting period there where they might have been hailed as... like, we'll take being a sports washing project because we just want our Man United back, which is the United that challenges every season. Again, failing to see that having all the money in the world doesn't guarantee that in the Premier League, because it doesn't stop Man City having all of that, plus all of the facilities, plus all of the players.
Exactly.
So there was ultimately no answer that was going to fix them. But it would have been interesting to see how their fans approached it. Their core fan base, the core, you know, Manc fan base that have been there forever and ever might not have got on with it, but they've got so many fans that it would have in itself caused a division in the ranks. Are they too big to be sports off? I'd like to hope so, but it just takes a couple of big... I wish it was Ronaldo. You know, they signed Cristiano Ronaldo, who was well past it at that point, and all of a sudden the Harry Potter scarves disappeared, didn't they? Because they've signed Ronaldo and they've won the transfer market and it all goes quiet for a bit. This is a new potential failure creeping up on them, because, you know, there's new people, they have to give them time. It's like getting a new manager in.
What could you imagine, like, let's take it from where we are today to a year's time, 25% of the club's been sold, they're running the sports operations, they get worse. What the hell do the Man United fans think at this point?
They're still blaming the Glazers at that point. Gary Neville certainly was still, but because they're sticking them out, and that's the big problem here, is the fact that the Glazers aren't going. And you sort of both alluded to the fans. I think 99, I don't want to speak on behalf of them, but I imagine a lot of Manchester United fans, a strong contingent, would have just wanted the Glazers out at all costs, and they're not getting it.
Yeah.
And that's why they're so fuming. Because, albeit Jim Ratcliffe wants the sporting decisions, and that's probably better for the long term and indeed the short term of the football club, he's already spoken about the main priority being Old Trafford. He wants to take that up to 90,000, and he's saying all the right things because he's heard
the roof first.
Yeah, well, he's heard the dissenting voices. You can't ignore him because everyone's heard them. So he is saying the right things. He's probably getting them on side, but niggling away at them, all of them, is the fact that the Glazers aren't going. And that's what this all boils down. That's why Qatar, regardless of the money, was the better option, because that was 100% Glazers out, done.
So if he owns 25% of it, like, is he okay with just throwing all this money in instead of the Glazers doing it? That's my question. That's, how much does he earn back?
But if there's a pathway to full ownership, then it's the same difference as owning it now.
Yeah, that's quite regular, that.
Yeah, you're kind of almost deferring it. You own it, but you own it. You don't own it on paper, you own it in theory over a number of years. If they've got a plan to increase that share ownership every few years, it makes kind of no odds.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, You have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I just want to get to Gary Neville's
I forgot about this thesis.
He said the news last night of the Qatari withdrawal leaves Man United on the brink of a minority investment. Can this really work, and what impact will it have on a struggling organisation? It's worth setting out my non-negotiables on a takeover of Manchester United that I made over a year ago.
Can I just say something when I looked at this on Twitter, I don't have a clue what he says here, so I'm going to sit in and brace myself. But do you know that meme where it's like, I'm not reading that, but I'm happy for you, or I'm sad that that was my response. I was not reading all of that.
So, is non-negotiables...
Why did we put this out when Gerard Houllier got brought in as a joint manager with Roy Evans, by the way?
A number one, he wants a new sporting project.
Okay.
Number two, a new or redeveloped Old Trafford. Three, a new training ground.
Wait, what's number one? What is this? What he's saying?
Yeah.
So what does he want? Like, what?
Horse racing.
That's what I'm thinking. Is that what he wants? He wants a Manchester United wind surfing club.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck's an LG? What's he asking for with number one?
They're just words, then.
They are just words.
It's the first one. Make it make sense to me.
The number one. I'm not saying he's ranked these in order, but like, I know what he's trying to say.
A strong start.
He's trying to say that he wants like a clear vision of what that of direction of travel for Manchester United. Now, that should be pretty fucking obvious, by the way. We want Manchester United to be competitive at the top end of football, to challenge for titles and European titles. But I mean, so maybe that should be obvious. You shouldn't need that to be a non-negotiable. But then
I'm still just putting it out there. I'd like the Man United windsurfing club.
Yeah. Man United Crown Green Bowls Association.
Yeah.
Nice.
Number four, full redevelopment of the surrounding land to create a Manchester United world and an exciting fan experience.
Oh, he wants roller coasters. I'm on it.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be anywhere near that.
Isn't support of Manchester United a bit of a shit roller coaster at the moment, anyway?
Absolutely. Five, pay off the debt and stop taking dividends until the above is done. I'm adding a sixth due to events in the last 2 to 3 years. The club requires leadership that is statesmanlike on major issues that enables a fairer, more inclusive and diverse game. Leadership that builds a positive environment and culture whilst adhering to the club's values and principles, and one that is willing to make tough decisions to prevent an erosion in the club's public image. It doesn't feel like that one's as well developed as the others. And what I mean by that is, it's not an elevator pitch. That is a thesis in and of itself. All of which sounds great and is fundamentally not wrong, because you want, you know, with all that more inclusive, diverse game, absolutely. But like, how do you define the statesmanlike leadership?
I feel like number seven is, I will be happy to do this role for you.
Yeah.
Is that what the end of this says?
Yeah. What he's saying is, give me some more room to build me hotel.
Some more attractions around it,
and get me involved in the doing of it all. But then again, you know, it's a Salford good.
No, they're not. They're not actually. They're struggling. Actually, I think they're not the bottom, but very much near the bottom.
It's the ownership structure there.
Yeah. Wait, it's not even him, is it? Is it Peter Lim, the guy who pumps money into them? I think one of his stipulations is actually if Man United need to loan at least two footballers to Salford every season.
Okay,
that was one of his other ones.
Yeah. How does a minority stakeholder positively impact the club to achieve the above? Can a minority shareholder have any impact on the above? It leaves more questions than answers. My preference is, and always will be now for a Glazer family full exit. They have overstayed their welcome in Manchester, yet seem oblivious to this fact. There is much up in the air, but I threw down the following questions I'm sure fans would like answering. There will be lots more, but here's a starter for 16.
I don't think faster for 16 was the phrase.
No, it wasn't.
I'm sorry, how much has he paid for...
Starter for 16?
Yeah.
How much has he paid for Twitter Blue? Because I'm pretty sure Redman every year don't get that amount of characters.
You do, I just don't need
them. No, if Dan started putting this out, I'd have a severe... I would have question marks over Dan's ability to use social media if he needed this many words.
You can't
number one! Come on, guys. We've got 16 to get through here.
Oh,
come
my
on.
God, really?
One, what does the distribution of funds look like? Is all the cash being taken out of the club?
I don't know what it looks like, but it sounds like this.
Two, which Glazers are going, or is it a family dilution? Because all of the individual Glazers own a different percentage of the shares of this as well,
that's
by the
fun.
Way. How does it impact the stock exchange shareholders? Does the executive stay the same? Does the sporting side stay the same above the manager? Who within the board are sporting control? Are the future dilution clauses with the Glazer family in any deal you do as a minority share? Jesus Christ. We maxed out on the credit card and debt. How is this deal going to change the capital
United
structure?
Maxed the credit card out. Yeah.
How does this change the capital structure and financial issues? Is any further debt being placed on the club? Is any debt being paid off? How does this deal impact the board composition? How does a minority shareholder impact the negative culture within the entire organisation? Old Trafford is tired and in need of significant redevelopment. How does this deal resolve this issue? Will this deal allow the development of this training ground to its required standard? Old Trafford requires significant investment on its surrounding land. Does the deal impact this requirement positively, or does it leave it as a concrete wasteland? 16. How does a minority shareholder stop cultural decline across a whole organisation if the people who have overseen this decline still have a majority shareholding anyway?
I'm happy I didn't spend 30 minutes on my Saturday night.
I feel
the dog kicks off in a
minute. Go to bed, Gary.
Jamie Carragher though tweeted the paragraph that is his favourite was, it's worth setting out my non-negotiables on a takeover for Manchester United that I made over a year ago. He said there's also a few other crackers in there as well.
There's
nothing like making a serious point and then one of your mates comes in and goes,
what's he saying? What's he doing there?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.